Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the DGDG.com studios on the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
It's really good to be with you. Thanks so much for stopping on by today. We've got a good couple of hours to hang out before we get you to a little Warriors warm-up starting at 5 o'clock ahead of Game 3. Opening round playoff series, Warriors, Spurs, and what a different, sad note that we have to strike before we really get ready for this one tonight. The passing of Aaron Popovich has cast a pall over all the basketball fun that we wanted to have tonight. I mean, this is where professional athletes are really, really, really seeing their professionalism tested by the real world events, passing, tragedy, loss. It happens to us all. It touches us all. Hopefully it doesn't come about very often, but this is certainly a life moment that is bigger than basketball. It's bigger than sports. And, you know, what we do here really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. For a man to have lost his wife of four decades, he has stepped away. The Spurs will be coached by an assistant tonight. That assistant is not Becky Hammons, by the way. But they are going to be all of them with heavy hearts. Greg Popovich has requested that no moment of silence start this game. He doesn't want the coverage to revolve around the tragedy in his absence. He wants it to be about basketball, and that is certainly noble. But it's almost asking a lot of all involved, who clearly so many people have compassion for this guy, that it's really something else. And obviously, this isn't one of those situations where the tragedy affects one team and then not so much the other, because Steve Kerr knows Greg Popovich and the Spurs family very, very well. His wife, Steve Kerr's wife, and Aaron Popovich were very, very good friends, and that's something that Steve was talking today at Shootaround about. I mean, it's just so sad that all of this has happened. Here is Steve Kerr talking about the passing of Greg Popovich's wife.
Devastating news. You know, Aaron has been courageously fighting a battle with some health issues over the last few years, but this was shocking. It was unexpected. And, you know, our whole organization, all our players, our coaches, we're all thinking about Aaron and Pop and Mickey and Jill. Pop and Aaron have two small grandchildren who love their grandma, and it's just sad. It's sad for all of us, and not a whole lot we can say other than offering our condolences and our support. And Pop might be the most admired man in the NBA for many reasons, and there's an outpouring of support and grief from everybody around the league. But it hits home, especially for those of us who were part of this Spurs family and who have been so impacted by Pop and Aaron over the years. So it's a tough day.
Aaron Popovich and Steve Kerr's wife, like I was saying, were very, very close.
Knew her well. She was close with my wife when I played here. Aaron was sort of the balance that Pop needed. I still remember when he traded me to Portland 2001. He called me up to tell me the news. He said, I don't think I can go home because Aaron's going to be so mad at me for trading you. And Margo and Aaron were close and have stayed in touch over the years. And so, yeah, I mean, she was part of the family.
So what can we say other than certainly our condolences from everyone here at the station to the Spurs organization? And obviously this touches the Warriors closely and deeply as well. Anyone who was married, anyone who has a life partner, anyone who, you know, is experiencing a lifelong love has to be grieving for that kind of a loss. And, you know, it's funny. 2 days ago, we're sitting around criticizing Greg Popovich just because that's the job we do.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we do. We talk about sports and we don't. Have you ever heard in your life a single peep about Greg Popovich's wife? I hadn't. I didn't even know that the man was married. I assume so, but I assume all men that age are probably married.
Right.
But you never heard about her. I had no idea really who she was or that she was ill in any way, shape, or form. And so this news was so jarring because it was all about basketball up until then and all about surly Greg Popovich and all about how he doesn't like to go ahead and have that Gatorade bottle in front of his press conference. And now he's just joking with people. Well, maybe we realize why he's so all over the place. He's got to be a little scattered shot. I don't know if this passing was sudden, expected. The only thing that I think is heartbreaking is that this guy, in really what were the final days of his life's wife, or of his wife's life, had to be out here dealing with this. Like, it would have been better had the Spurs missed the playoffs and he could have been home. It really would have been. Sports means nothing at a time like this.
It puts it in perspective, certainly. Hearts and prayers go out to his family. That's a very tough situation to be in right now.
Can I ask a tacky yet relevant and germane to the conversation we've been having question? Does Kawhi Leonard go to the funeral? I mean, it's been a really weird relationship. If this doesn't bring you back into the fold, because this is not about basketball. This is about showing up to respect the man that was, that is your coach who has just gone through a personal tragedy. I wonder if Kawhi Leonard and company, his group, as Greg Popovich has called him, have reached out, because it's been a stalemate. It's been a lot of silence in between the two parties. So I wonder if this might, I don't know, be the olive branch of that moment. I really don't know. And honestly, that it really doesn't matter, right? This is bigger than any of that. But we do have a job today. You know, the professionals got to go out and play their basketball game tonight. We wanted to have a job yesterday. We reported for duty.
Yes, we did.
I guess I got to count that as no show. For the very first time in our entire run here at 95.7 The Game, the entire run of the Damon Brew Show, maybe this happened to another afternoon show, but the A's game that started at 12:35 yesterday ran through my program's running time to 7 p.m.
This is true. It's only happened one other time here at 95.7.
Technically, the game ended around 6:30, but with all of their post-game obligations, by the time it was ready for me to come on the air, my time had elapsed. So I've got 2 days worth of content for you. And what's really ironic, and this is the irony of the whole thing, I know a lot of you say, hey, how come you don't talk about the A's more? I had a huge A's show planned for yesterday, but of course the Oakland A's got in the way of that.
That is ironic.
We had Dave Cavill scheduled as a guest. We were going to talk about what they had learned from their free night of attendance, how they're going to conduct business going forward. Are things going to change? What lessons did they really take away from that? You know, it was good news. Here's the deal. Gianna, my whole point was this. There's a lot of things in the world that would probably cost, for a family of four, about $200 or $300, that if we're made free tomorrow, I'd still have no interest in. Like, there's been some very depressing attendance figures for the A's this year.
Right.
But the fact that they did get that big of a crowd means there's interest.
Yeah.
Interest exists, but business is not brisk. How do you bridge the gap? How do you make this successful? And, oh, are you telling me that it's just a celestial coincidence that we're hearing about a desire to bring a major league team to Portland on the day you were having free admission? I mean, I didn't fall off the turnip truck yesterday, folks. You're telling me that's just a celestial coincidence that those two events just happened to occur on the same day in this universe by happenstance? Like, I'm just a little too cynical to believe that. I'm sorry. So, I guess we'll save that for another time, another day. A's got in the way of their own content yesterday with all of that baseball. Some content that we have for you today revolves around a little something that I know you happen to pay attention to, and you love it very, very much.
Are you ready? just a list of team names and dates. But it gives you excitement as a fan. We've got ourselves an NFL schedule to discuss. One of them has been leaked in its entirety. We have the 49ers schedule. I've only got a couple of facts about the Raiders, and it's no sense of not trying. We tried to find out as much as we could. Here's what we know about the Raiders. They're going to be playing at the 49ers on November 1st. They're going to be in London against the Seahawks in Week 6. What do we know about the 49ers? Well, according to Cam Inman, we know just about everything. The biggest thing, the most important thing, the most germane to the conversation that we have here in the Bay Area thing is this. It's this. The Battle of the Bay reaches us November 1st. Raiders at Niners, November 1st. It's going to be a Thursday night football game. I wish it wasn't a Thursday night game. We'll get into the reasons why later. Really doesn't have as much to do with traffic patterns as I want this team. I want both these teams to come in full strength, full game plan, no short work week or anything like that. And there's going to be circumstances surrounding them. It sucks. This should have had a Sunday to itself, a Monday night to itself. You could say, well, you got Thursday to itself. Yeah, but Thursday is a crappy night to play professional football. It doesn't make any sense. I hate Thursday night football. You hate Thursday night football. Every Thursday night football fan, there are none.
At least there's no color rush, though.
No color rush, thank goodness. But what is good news is it'll take place in Week 9, which means both of these teams are going to have their 2018 season legs underneath them. By Week 9, you know what? You're having the season that you're going to have. Unless, of course, out of nowhere, later in the year, you know, you do something extreme and trade for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang.
In which case, it changes things a little bit. But we have the entirety of the 49ers schedule. 5 primetime games and the Week 9 date with the Raiders. Thursday night is going to be a huge one around here. By the way, speaking of a huge one around here,
Dunce boy.
Guess who's on in the next round?
Dunce boy.
Guess who's on to Las Vegas?
Dunce boy.
Guess who probably isn't much of a Raider fan?
Dunce boy.
Because they're wishing the Las Vegas Golden Knights good luck with 4-leaf clovers.
Wow.
Hopefully the Sharks end that streak. They are into the second round. They have swept the Ducks. Goodbye, Quackers. Oh, God. Quackers is gone.
Dunce boy.
888-957-9570 is the number. We talked to Steve Kerr earlier this week, and obviously we want to replay some of that for you, talking about basketball tonight, and then we'll touch on why this NBA game doesn't feel like the rest, obviously, with the passing of Aaron Popovich. But Steve Kerr coming up next here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Steve Kerr, brought to you by Mancini Sleep World, simply the best place to buy a mattress, and brought to you by the Bay Club. Get more at the Bay Club. More boxing, more pickup games, more laps in the pool. Visit Bay Club More for a 3-day pass to get started. Steve, thank you very much for joining us, and congratulations. 2-0 looks pretty good over San Antonio, doesn't it?
It does look good, but long way to go, obviously. But last night was a great win, especially given that the Spurs really came out and played well, played hard, and got into us. I liked our response in the second half.
Didn't think the Spurs were good enough to win game one, but like you said, I did think that they played well enough to win game two. LaMarcus Aldridge obviously had a fantastic game. What did you think woke up the Spurs? Was it your effort that Greg Popovich tried to match emotionally in game two?
I just think this is pretty predictable in the playoffs. You know, if you blow a team out in game one, they're going to come out and play much better in game two. Everybody you play is going to be really good. You know that. You know, you're playing a team that has so much tradition and history and so many guys who have been there before with Parker and Ginobili especially, but you know, Aldridge has been a playoff performer for many years. So it's just to be expected. Their effort was much better. Their defense was fantastic in the first half. This is what the playoffs are about.
Warriors head coach Steve Kerr here on the Damon Bruce Show. Most head coaches wouldn't announce that they were surprised by any aspect of their team in fear that someone would be like, well, why is any aspect of your team surprising you? You're the head coach.
But you're not like any other head coach, and I think you might answer this honestly, Steve. Has anything about your team surprised you, or have you really been expecting this effort to just pop up with the playoffs all along?
Well, I did expect the defense to get dramatically better, and it has. So that's been really positive, obviously. That's the key to the whole thing. No matter who you're playing in the playoffs, you've got to make stops. And every team presents different challenges. So yeah, we knew what the Spurs were going to do coming in, just like they've prepared well for us. So the biggest thing is I'm pleased with our effort. I thought we were much better in game one. We missed a lot of box outs last night. We had more mistakes. So we're going to have to be tighter and better in game three.
Draymond Green, he really is the barometer of this team's emotions. And if he's feeling frisky, the whole team feels frisky. And if he's not, the whole team doesn't necessarily feel frisky. Good news, Coach. He's frisky right about now.
Yeah, he's playing well. And, you know, he and Andre, I think, are just so good defensively. And the way they pair up and, you know, kind of read the situation, there's a lot of switching what's going on out there, a lot of reading circumstances. And, you know, when you got a whole group of players out there who are so versatile with Clay and KD, Draymond, Andre, it makes the game so much easier. And those guys are all doing a hell of a job right now.
So you've told me all year long, and we asked you about this all year long. Are you worried about Andre? Not once did you say you were worried about Andre, and it turns out you were right. guy looks like he's running around on a 26-year-old kid's legs right now.
Yeah, well, he's the playoffs bring out the best in guys like Andre, who are, you know, maybe nearing the end of their careers, but who have been all-stars. I think you've seen the same thing from Ginobili over the last 4 or 5 years. You know, Ginobili's 40 now, and he's still coming into playoff games and making an impact. And Andre's obviously about, you know, 5, 6 years behind him. But it's just kind of the way it is. You get to a certain age, you can't bring it for 82 straight in terms of the energy and the athleticism. But I just think not the best in guys like Andre, who just, they know what to do, and they know they've conserved some energy over the course of the year, and now it's ready to go.
Did he lean over to you throughout the regular season and just, you know, kind of whisper in your ear, like, don't worry, I'll be here in April?
No, he doesn't even need to.
Steve Kerr here on 95.7 The Game. Curry seems to be in great spirits there on the bench. He's going to be traveling with the team to San Antonio. How involved is Steph during the walk-up to these games, either as a halftime voice, a pre- or post-game voice in that locker room? How involved is he with the team's business beyond being a spectator as he waits to get ready to play?
Well, as much as he can be, you know. But when you're not playing, you're not part of it. You're doing your rehab while the team is on the floor. And so there's always a separation, which is difficult to deal with as a player because you're so used to being, you know, part of the action. But what Steph's doing is behind the scenes. You know, he's talking to Quinn and he's offering his advice to guys, pulling Draymond aside. If he sees something, you know, he's in the film session, so he'll say something during the film. But it's just different, you know, when you're not playing, there's no question there's a separation there.
By the way, master stroke, great idea to give Quinn Cook all the room he needed to come off the bench and not put him in the starting lineup, which just, you know, like, hey, Greg Popovich, you're looking for a guy to test. Here he is in the first minute of the game. Like, really good move to go with Andre, I think.
Well, you know, the move was basically made to put our best defensive lineup on the floor. And Andre's obviously one of our best defenders. And, you know, Quinn is a very good defender, but he's 6 feet tall. And so he's vulnerable in certain areas. So it just made sense to put a big, rangy lineup out there that could switch and communicate and cause some havoc. And I think so far the lineup's doing really well.
Steve, JaVale McGee was close to not returning last offseason, and now is one of the biggest reasons why you're 2-0 in this series. He's been fantastic, and I think has played his best basketball, certainly in game one of this series. His opening 9-10 minutes on the floor were amazing.
Yeah, he's doing a great job on Aldridge. Aldridge is such a load. I mean, this guy is so good and difficult to handle, so good to have JaVale's athleticism to try to thwart some of what LaMarcus does. And the other great thing with JaVale is that he can just kind of, you know, use his speed and leaping ability to give us four or five hoops. And, you know, without Steph, we need that extra scoring punch. So he's had a hell of a first two games, JaVale has, and been a big factor for us.
Who was better at putting up a quiet 30-point performance, Kevin Durant or Michael Jordan?
Well, they're in the same category in that regard. You know, they just do it so easily that sometimes you just look up, and that's what I said last night after the game. It just seems like every night you look up at the scoreboard and Kevin's got 30. And that's the ultimate compliment. When you can score that easily and that smoothly, just shows what kind of talent you have.
We would love you to get this sucker done in four or five. If it goes six games, it's going to interfere with the NFL draft. And I got a big NFL draft show I'm already prepping. So we need this over by five, Coach, if you could.
I'll let the guys know.
Thank you very, very much. Really appreciate that. Steve, thank you.
You got it. See you, Damon.
Warriors approaching this series with our draft day coverage in mind. I do appreciate that. Obviously, we always appreciate when Steve Kerr has the time to drop on by. We talked to him earlier in the week. You know, I asked him about the atmosphere of Game 3. And this was before we learned of the passing of Greg Popovich's wife. I asked him about how, you know, this is a fan base that has been to the playoffs 21 years in a row. The expectations of excellence in San Antonio are steep, and they know that the run is coming to its end. You know, this window is closing. And so I asked Steve about the atmosphere of Game 3, and here was his answer.
You know, the Spurs have been on fire at home. It's really kind of bizarre. They've been, losing every road game. I think they've lost like 11 straight road games. Maybe I may be wrong, but it's close. And they've won like 8 or 9 straight home games. So they're a totally different team there. And you know how the playoffs are. You win one game and the momentum changes. So that's going to be their focus is, let's go out and get one game and then have a home game on Sunday to tie the series. That's as simple as that. So our mindset has to be the exact opposite. Let's go out and get this first one and really, you know, tighten the screws.
We went on to talk about creating your own energy and how the Warriors are going to need to bring their own energy to the table. And now we come to the reality of tonight's game. In a vacuum, tonight's game feels like a meaningless sports exercise after knowing that Greg Popovich has lost his wife of four decades. It's incredibly sad. It's incredibly sad. And it adds a pall to the entire evening. We're going to have Kevin Harlan on at 4:20 today. Kevin Harlan is doing the game for TNT tonight. We're going to ask him about how he's going to balance the desire of the Popovich family to not recognize this moment, to just play ball, with the actual human compassion and empathy that everyone has to have who's working that game tonight for the situation that this game is being played in. Very, very odd. Very, very sad. And I just feel terrible for all involved. Tonight's one of those nights where you really wish you could do, you could take the, tonight's one of those nights where you wish you could ask the business of sports to push the pause button.
Sure.
Why don't we come back and do this on Sunday afternoon? Why don't everyone take a few days? But the business of sports does not allow that to happen, and they're going forward with this game tonight. We'll be talking to both Mark Spears at 4 o'clock and Kevin Harlan around 4:20 about the upcoming game tonight. Warriors warm-up is going to start here at 5 o'clock. Game 3, Warriors and Spurs, a chance to put a stranglehold on the series. Chance to close the series last night for the San Jose Sharks, and what do you know? That's what they did.
Guess what? Back to Vlasic. He'll shoot. And they score! Joe Marsh hurdle!
How about that? I mean it. I watched every single period, every single shift, all four games. I was on the bandwagon.
Done scoring.
You know that. I'm driving it.
Done scoring.
I'm riding it.
Done scoring.
I'm humping it.
Done scoring.
I'm tuning it up.
Done scoring.
I'm under the hood fixing it.
Done scoring.
I love it. Sharks bandwagon has got me. Not only am I riding it, I got a disco whip over my head going, let's do this. Golden Knights, hey, your really darling, amazing expansion season, that's got to come to an end. That's got to be it.
The Sharks are going to do it.
That's it. Go Sharks. Go Sharks.
I love your enthusiasm, Damon.
Oh, it was fun. I love playoff hockey. That's sexy hockey. It was fun. The energy in the tank. There's nothing better than a team at home holding on to a one-goal lead. Everybody in the tank is just, every single show. Oh, Jones was awesome in the pipes last night, too. He really was. He stopped every big moment, every opportunity that the Ducks put on him, but for one. That was fantastic. Sorensen got everyone going. That was a fun game. That was a fun night. I wish I could have been down at the tank. Randy Hahn was on fire. The coverage is great, man. They do a great job covering the Sharks. They really do. So that was an awful lot of fun. I had fun. I'm ready for game one, round two. Absolutely.
Vegas.
Bring on the Canites. Let's do this. Hey, Damon, are you going to host your draft show somewhere for us listeners to come join you? Oh,
well,
I am so glad that you asked, because if you plan on being around downtown San Francisco Financial District on draft day, I'm inviting you to come on out and see us at Schroeder's. Schroeder's is where we are going to be doing our draft day show from. Me, Joe Fortenbaugh, I believe we have scheduled an appearance, if not a straight up co-hosting collaboration with the one and only Greg Papa.
Nice.
Greg's got a show to do from noon to three, but I think...
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's what he's thinking.
I believe Greg is going to stick around. The only thing that would peel Greg out of Schroeder's would be if the Warriors-Spurs sees game six. I think the chances of that happening are slim to none. So I do hope we are having a full-bore, out-and-out NFL draft day show. By the way, do you see who opened the doors for the Sharks last night?
Tonight, it's San Francisco 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan as game four is about to get underway.
In the background there, you had Kyle Shanahan saying this ends tonight. Did you see how the Sharks are like, yeah, there's the Bay's football team? Again, Raiders, they're riding with the Golden Knights. These hoes ain't loyal.
Mm-mm.
You know, what can I tell you? I mean, you're moving to Vegas? Good for you. You know, tell me all about how great the Strip is when you get there. You're already rooting for Vegas teams over Bay Area teams. Shame on you.
How easy you forget where you come from.
Talk about, it's the whole thing. Be like, man, I love that Marshawn Lynch never forgot where he was from. The Oakland Raiders are still 2 years away from moving, and they have already forgotten where they are from. They should scrub the word Oakland of that franchise right now.
And they're still here. They
call themselves the Nomad Raiders. Just go wander the desert. Oh, by the way, they'll be picking 10th in the draft. We're really excited about that. Let's talk about the fact that we now have pretty much the entirety of the 49ers schedule. This is something else. Three of the first four are on the road. Cam Inman got all the tea. He's having the 49ers schedule tea party. He's got all the news. Hey, D. Bruce, I saw my coach open the door last night. Can you give me a little?
Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang.
Sorry, that's only for Jimmy Garoppolo. We can't use that for the Shanahan as well. Week two. The Detroit Lions are going to be at Levi's Stadium. Week one, they're in Minnesota, and what do you know? It's going to be the Shanahan versus the Cousins.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting. The guy that might have been the 49ers quarterback will open up against the guy that is now the 49ers quarterback, whose name is...
Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang.
Five primetime games. The Raiders will be at Levi's for the first time ever, November 1st. What I really like about that is that it gives both of these franchises, especially John Gruden, who's in his first year back as a coach, a little chance to walk into the season. It's going to be week 9 before these teams meet each other, which means they will be, you know, they'll be in midseason form. It won't be those first 3-4 weeks of football where, you know, flip a coin. You have no idea.
Right. They'll be in it.
I like it. Of the seven teams with new coaches, five of them are on the 49ers home schedule, believe it or not. The Raiders, the Arizona Cardinals, the Chicago Bears, the Detroit Lions, and the New York Giants all come into Levi's with new coaches. Their strength of schedule, right in the middle, tied for 15th, most challenging. It's the easiest schedule among NFC West teams. This is the right time for the 49ers to think that they're ascending a little bit. They've got a comfortable schedule to negotiate. This is going to be pretty interesting. So here it goes. Here is the 2018 regular season schedule for the 49ers. Again, the Raiders, that has not leaked in its entirety. The only thing we know about the Raiders is that they're playing at the Niners November 1st, and the Raiders are in London to meet the Seahawks in week 6. That will be a lost home game for Raider fans. That's the one thing. Those are the two things we know. Maybe something has happened while in the last 36 minutes.
I'll check.
Gianna, refresh the tweeter and see what happens. If we have any more news. But here it is, week 1. 49ers are at the Minnesota Vikings. You got Jet McKinnon going back. You got the Shanahan versus the Cousins. September 16th, the home opener will be against the Detroit Lions, the Lions' first ever visit to Levi's Stadium. The Lions have lost their last 12 trips to the 49ers at Candlestick Park. At the Kansas City Chiefs, September 23rd. At the Chargers, September 30th. That is going to be a very interesting matchup. October 7th against the Cardinals. October 15th, it'll be a Monday night footer, a Monday nighter at the Green Bay Packers in Lambeau. I don't know what a Monday night footer is. I don't know what just happened there. Sorry.
What is that, Damon?
Stroke.
Sounds interesting.
You'll be hosting the Rams on October 21st, October 28th at the Arizona Cardinals. Again, the big game with the Raiders. It's going to be a Thursday nighter. Oh, traffic's going to be bad.
Yeah, that's going to be hard.
If you want to be in your seat for the kickoff Thursday night football, you should probably get Wednesday off of work. It might take you 24 hours.
Definitely want to go early. You're going to want a half day, definitely, to get down there. That'll be tough.
And what's crazy here is they're playing Thursday night football, and then they wrap around, and they play Monday night football against the New York Giants. They're hosting the Giants on Monday night football. They're going to be at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. At the Seattle Seahawks, December 9th, they host the Broncos. December 16th, it's the Seahawks. December 23rd, so they play on Christmas Eve against the Chicago Bears. Again, the Chicago Bears won the first ever real regular season game at Levi's Stadium. But, of course, Jimmy Garoppolo won his first start at Soldier Field. Something's got to give.
Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang.
Second year in a row, the year will end in Los Angeles, December 30th at the Rams, and that is the entirety of the 2018 schedule for the 49ers. Again, when we have the entirety of the Raiders schedule, we'll talk about that just a little bit.
I got a little bit.
Oh, we got a little bit more? Oh, give me a little bit more.
This is all reportedly. These are all reports, so nothing official. But week 4, apparently September 30th, Browns at Raiders. Week 5, Raiders at Chargers. We know week 6 they're in London, and week 9, of course, they're at Levi's.
So. All right. So we have two more games that we now know about. That's a solid quarter of the Raiders schedule that is now leaked. That's nice. That's nice. I like that an awful lot. Hey, Damon, word to the wise, never type Monday night footer into Google. I'll take your word for that. I didn't want to do that, and thanks to your advice, I'm not going to do that. I really don't. Is there something about Monday Night Feet that I need to know
about?
I
don't know what that is, so.
I don't know what that is either. I don't know. Elena says she's going to take one for the team here
of
on the show and do it.
She's going to try it.
Do it. You know what? Grab the voodoo doll.
Hold her tight.
Grab the voodoo doll. Grab Mama Voodoo. And Google away, and you tell us if you don't get fired immediately by HR for inappropriate, not safe for work behavior. Oh, no, she's going to
I was just going to suggest this. So, don't do it on a company laptop or computer. Use your phone, please.
She's going to take one on the team and use her own phone. Probably smart. You don't want that on the old HTML line. Or what is that? The search line, the Google line?
No, we don't want any of that. But the curiosity is there. I ain't going to lie.
I know, Elena.
Super disappointed.
Oh, really?
But it was a funny joke.
That.
Text line.
Okay, yeah,
whatever. Text line.
It was a good joke. It was a good joke. Here's the thing: if you're promising smut to the Damon Bruce show, we want smut delivered. Absolutely, deliver the smut.
What a letdown.
By the way, we have a whole new segment coming up today at 5:30 called "Deliver the Smut." You're gonna love. No, I'm just kidding. We're not even on at 5:30 today. Warriors warm up is gonna be on at 5:30 today. Warriors warm up starts at 5 o'clock today, which means we've still got about an hour and 15 minutes together. We're going to spend it wisely with you when Mark Spears joins me at 4 o'clock. The one and only up high, down hard, Kevin Harlan's going to join me. And before we tip our cap and say goodbye, we're going to have 5 before 5 for you. Warriors warm-up starts at 5. Because I'm a broadcaster, I feel like I got to use my broadcasting fives. So we're going to have 5 for 5 at Zeta 5 o'clock. And then Warriors warm-up's going to start at 5. You're at 9 to 5, 7 to go.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Mark Spears all over the NBA coming up at 4 o'clock. Kevin Harlan, who is doing the game for TNT tonight, Game 3 Warriors-Spurs, he joins me coming up around 4:20 this afternoon. By the way, tomorrow is 4:20.
Yes, it is.
It's a Friday. It's 4:20. A staffer who shall remain nameless.
Staffer, huh?
A staffer here at 95.7 The Game gave me great advice saying, hey, you know, if you want to run into a crowded dispensary, go tomorrow. It's going to be the first weed is legal 4:20 in the history of California.
Might be a little nutty.
Yeah, I'm just saying, drive slowly, drive carefully. Everyone make good choices, okay? Not too slowly.
Maybe go today and prepare for tomorrow. Beat the crowd.
Hey.
Just suggesting.
Be prepared, like the Boy Scouts. 888-957-9570 is the number. We saw last night two Bay Area baseball games go to extra innings. One of them was in extra innings for a really long time. As a matter of fact, they could have stretched the 14th inning along with the 7th inning. And it was a long, long game over at the Coliseum to the point where for the very first time in this show's history, a 12:35 afternoon start wiped us out. That game ended at like 6:35 yesterday, meaning they had about 25 minutes of postgame to do. And by the time 7 o'clock came around,
how was that?
My allotted time here on the station had reached its end. So, didn't get to talk too much about anything yesterday. Extra innings baseball for A's fans, they go home winners. Extra innings for the Giants last night in Arizona. You know, there's no such thing as a big game in April, right? Well, I don't know. If they had gone to Arizona and gotten swept, they would have been 8 games back. Today, they look up, they're only, 6 games back, right? They're only 6 games back now. I mean, there's plenty of time to play, but there's a big difference between 6 and 8.
Mm-hmm.
Really is.
Belt, it's a high fly ball to right. Dyson back. It is out of here. And the first runs of the year given up by Brad Boxberger, and the Giants take the lead.
So, Brandon Belt wasn't looking to draw a walk in a big moment after all. He actually swung the bat. Yay! Keep it up. Feel free to keep that up. Yeah, I really don't want to hear much about the small sample size of this season, and it's great that they won yesterday. It really is. But the Giants' problems remain even though some of the faces have changed. And yesterday, even though you walked out of that game with a win, the problems were just as easy to see in victory as they are in defeat sometimes. Maybe some of the faces that haven't changed have now become faces that are part of the problem. Like Brandon Belt, sure, home run last night, but he is who he is, and he'll never be who you want him to be over at first base. I know that. Unless you're really looking for a guy to always draw a walk. I mean, let her rip, Brandon. Hunter Pence last night, an error in an 0-for-5. You got Gorkys, you got Blanco. You got a lot of guys who can't hit the ball out of the infield, don't spend much time in their careers hitting the ball out of the infield. You know, Kelby Tomlinson, that guy's a soft hitter. The Giants have been playing bad baseball, I don't care that they won last night, and I don't care what the record is this year. Let's be honest. They're going to have trouble scoring runs. Period and end of story. They're having trouble scoring runs, and last night, even in victory, wasn't much of an exception. The Giants have been playing bad baseball since the second half of 2016. I don't want to hear anything about a small sample size being how you look at this season. Yeah, sure, this year, small sample size. The sample size of the Giants' offense underperforming goes back a season and a half. It really does. Bullpen failures led to the Giants being bounced from the playoffs in 2016. Their answer was Mark Melancon. Mark Melancon has a grand total of 11 saves. He's on the hook for 4 years, $64 million. He recently had a stem cell injection in his throwing arm. Has a great baseball pitching story Gianna ever started with. He had a stem cell injection in his pitching arm and then went on to win the Cy Young. I've never heard that story. I've never told that story. That's weird. The Giants have no answer in left field. From the start of the 2017 season, they bring back Mike Morse to compete with Mack Williamson and Jared Parker. Williamson injured his quad. He's retooled his swing. We'll have more on him in a second. Parker, he crashed into AT&T Park left field wall. He broke his collarbone. Michael Morse was concussed in the Harper-Strickland brawl. By the way, Strickland blew the save last night and was forced to retire after being hit by running onto the field to have a game of patty cake. Hey, Elise Sandoval's back. Giants got a lot of ideas that aren't exactly inspirational ideas out there. They've spent a lot of money. They just haven't spent it that well. We do have NFL schedules. Feels a little bit, just a touch, like a football holiday. Love having schedules. Lets you start dreaming. Lets you start thinking. Battle of the Bay. The very last Battle of the Bay as we know it, the last Battle of the Bay that we see scheduled in the future, the last time the Raiders or Niners are ever just going to have to get on a bus to play the other franchise, November 1st. It's going to be a Thursday night game. Sure, it's going to have a national stage all to itself, but that stage sucks. I hate Thursday night football. I hate that this is a Thursday night football game. I hate that both these coaches have a short week to prepare for the other. I do like the fact that this game's in week 9. Both these teams are going to have their identities pretty clearly defined by the time they meet each other. They'll know what they're good at. They'll know what they're bad at. They'll know what their strengths and weaknesses are. So there'll be a lot of footage. Shanahan will know exactly how things are clicking with Gruden and Derek Carr. Carr will either be returning to form or still struggling to find his identity by week 9. Who knows? By week 9 next season, Derek Carr might be right back in the conversation of best quarterbacks in football. Or he might still be struggling. We know what the expectations are going to be. 49ers are going to step into this season with big expectations, reminding everyone to be patient. It's a really, really fork-in-the-road season. It's going to be interesting to see it all play out. What a fun game we're going to have. Too bad it's a Thursday nighter, but it is good that we are going to have our own little Super Bowl. It really is going to feel like our own little Super Bowl.
Little Battle of the Bay. Be fun.
Raiders and Niners. Raiders first time ever in Levi. Here's the thing. I don't want this game played under any parameters that affect how the crowd gets there. I wanted everyone to have all the time they needed to get there. I'm trying to leave work at 5 o'clock and try to get to a game. You'll never make it. You'll never make it. You could be just a few miles away. The traffic is going to be so bad.
It'll be tough.
I wonder how many Raider fans are going to make it in there. I wonder if Niner fans are going to go out of their way to make sure their tickets don't go to Raider fans. invading Levi's has not been a monumental task. There's been a lot of Niner apathy about that building, but Garoppolo changed everything, and that building had a little life, and if they get off to a start that they're proud of,
well,
that excites people,
yeah,
that's going to be a fun one, man. It really is. Absolutely love it. Mark Spears is going to be joining us in just a little bit. He's a senior writer for ESPN's The Undefeated. Obviously, as we think about tonight's Game 3 for the Warriors, playoff basketball everywhere. We got Mark Spears coming up to talk about the playoff basketball that's going on everywhere, not just the game that's happening in San Antonio tonight. You had both the, what? You had the Rockets taking a 2-0 series lead over the Timberwolves and looking very good. That's the Houston Rocket team that we've been talking about all year in Game 2. They weren't very good in Game 1. They were pretty good in Game 2. They're up 2-0, just like the Warriors are on the Spurs. How about New Orleans going into Portland and taking 2 from the Trailblazers? This is not what Dame Lillard had in mind. Jrue Holiday playing great. Rajon Rondo playing great. We got the 76ers tonight rolling into Miami to take on a rejuvenated Dwayne Wade. Sixers are going to feel a little rejuvenated themselves, by the way. They got Embiid back in their lineup tonight. I bet he's excited to get going. By the way, I have said this on the air. I'm sticking to it. I understand that I'm flying in the face here of NBA logic, but I think NBA logic is illogical. In order to be Rookie of the Year, I think it has to be your first year in the NBA. We've already done this show. I'm not about to do it again. Ben Simmons, Blake Griffin, when he won it, I didn't think should have qualified for Rookie of the Year. Qualifications or candidacy. The advantage you have over a rookie class by taking a redshirt freshman year in your professional year, I don't care if you're nursing back from injury or not, you're sitting on the bench. You're getting an up-close, in-person education every night. You've got coaches. You've got practice. You've got film study. You are around the NBA to the point where halfway through your rookie year, you pretty much knows how this works, even though you haven't played a game. Donovan Mitchell is a one-man kind of doing it all on his own, doesn't have a collection of top draft picks around him like Ben Simmons does. And he has made the Jazz more relevant than anybody thought that they would be in the year where Gordon Hayward said, thanks for the memories, I'm out. This guy's been unbelievable. And you know what happened? Last night, after he was fantastic, got a big win for the Jazz in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
After all that happened, I went on and tweeted, you know, Donovan Mitchell really should be the Rookie of the Year. Someone should call the cops because a crime has been committed if he's not. All I can tell you is that I've been picked up by somebody in the Philadelphia media and been retweeted, and I am inside. My timeline is a mess. Like, RIP my timeline. Because I got 76ers fans inviting me to commit suicide, to kill myself, delete my life, delete my account, delete everything. It's insane. Philadelphia fans are nuts. And I am really happy that I don't work in Philadelphia because I couldn't deal with those people at all.
They are crazy.
Oh, my God. It's insane.
But they're going to feel very strongly about Simmons, obviously.
Oh, they don't want to hear it. I mean, why do we make a difference between this guy's a freshman or this guy's a redshirt freshman? Why don't we just call them all freshmen? Because there's a big difference between a redshirt freshman and a true freshman. I hate the way the NBA chooses its Rookie of the Year, especially when they're taking sophomores.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores. Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.